and welcome to Radio Prague. I'm Pavla Horáková and we start with the news. The Czech Republic joined other European countries on Wednesday in a day of mourning for the victims of the tsunami disaster in South Asia. Flags flew at half-mast, sirens sounded across the country at noon, and Czechs held a 3-minute silence to pay respect to the 150,000 dead. The number of Czechs still unaccounted for has dropped to 16, but there are fears that 7 of them have died. Officially, only one Czech victim has been confirmed. Following a cabinet session on Tuesday, the Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda said the government was prepared to earmark up to 200 million crowns or 6.7 million euros towards the restoration of the devastated region. Last week, the Czech government pledged 15 million crowns for immediate relief to the tsunami disaster area. 8 million has already been released. By Wednesday, Czechs have raised more than 90 million crowns or 3 million euros in individual donations to public collections called by aid organizations. Some Czech banks have decided to give up certain service charges on donations to Asia, among them ČSOB, Česká spořitelna, Komerční banka and HVB, which manage the accounts of major Czech aid organizations. As a result, hundreds of thousands of crowns more will be sent to the affected regions. However, the banks do not plan to cancel fees on charity payments in the future. The Czech government said on Tuesday that the 19% VAT deducted from donor SMS messages will also be given to Asia. Mobile phone operators say they will give up their service charge too. In other news, a Czech mountaineer has died in the Slovak High Tatra Mountains after being hit by an avalanche. According to the Slovak Mountain Rescue Service, the 38-year-old tourist from South Moravia became the first victim of the Tatra Mountains this year. Last year, the first alpinists killed in the mountains came from the Czech Republic too. They were buried under an avalanche on January the 18th, 2004. Meanwhile, following heavy snowfalls, mountain rescuers in the Krkonoše Mountains in East Bohemia and in the Jeseníky in North Moravia have announced a third-degree avalanche alert. On leeward slopes, the layers of fresh snow can be up to 5 meters thick and can easily break off and slide. Tourists are recommended to avoid the danger zones. And finally, a quick look at the weather. In the coming days, we can expect a partly cloudy weather with daytime temperatures reaching highs of 8 degrees Celsius in Bohemia and 11 degrees in Moravia. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the end of the news. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Pavla Horáková. The Czech government and charities are outlining long-term reconstruction projects for South Asia. We'll have an eyewitness account of the Indian Ocean disaster. A popular Czech jazz musician was holidaying in Sri Lanka when the wave struck. And the Czech Republic is marking Epiphany, the coming of the three wise men to baby Jesus in Bethlehem. We'll have more as well as the latest in Czech business, so please stay tuned. The Czech Republic has pledged over 300 million crowns, or around $15 million, in aid to the tsunami-devastated region. Over 200 million crowns will come from state coffers, the rest from public donations to humanitarian aid organizations. Several plane loads of emergency supplies have already been flown to the region, and now the government and charities are busy outlining longer-term projects. Daniela Lazarová called Vojtěch Rálek of the Czech Catholic charity Caritas Czech Republic to find out how their plans are taking shape.
So far we have collected almost 17 million crowns, which is nearly, I think, about 700,000 US dollars. This is for three countries, mainly India, Indonesia and Sri Lanka. In the first phase, we are focusing on relief projects. This is mainly about distribution of food and other relief items, then shelters, toolkits and medicines and medical equipment. In this phase, we are mainly collaborating with our partners. It means with local Caritas organizations and with the partners that are already on the spot.
You're not actually sending people out, are you?
Not yet. We are planning to send one of our colleagues or two of our colleagues to Sri Lanka next week for monitoring purposes for preparation of the rehabilitation projects.
And what about long-term aid?
In the long term, 1 year, let's say, we will mainly focus on help to fishermen's villages, means to help them to rebuild their lives and livelihood. and also to preschool children and orphans.
In what way do you want to help them?
As far as the fishermen villages are concerned, we would like to help them to buy new boats and to build new houses. As far as the children are concerned, we would like to focus on education. There is a huge experience from us because we are doing the same thing in the Northern Caucasus region. And also to help the families which are now taking care about orphans. So it will be some material help or financial help.
Vojtěch Králek of Caritas Czech Republic. Now, it's not just the general public that have been raising money to help the tsunami victims. Many well-known public figures have also been doing their bit. Among them is the famous jazz man and flute player Jiří Stivín, who had a special reason for helping. Mr. Stivín was among the Czechs who returned from the disaster-affected regions in recent days. He had planned a long Christmas holiday in Sri Lanka with his girlfriend, but the tsunami disaster brought all that to an end. Martin Mikula met Jiří Stivín after his return and asked him about his personal experience of those appalling moments.
In the very moment I was in my room, in our room, let's say, with my girlfriend, and I was lying in the bed trying to read some books, you know, to relax. And suddenly came a big wave, and suddenly another one, and the room was full of the water, so and I was trying to go out, so it was really very strange. The wall was falling down, and then I went out as far as possible from the sea.
Your hotel where you stayed, was it very close to the beach?
Yes, it was really close. It was very, very nice, you know. It was just about 30 meters from the beach, you know, just some palms and the sand. It was very pleasant place, but it was everything on ground floor, so everything was destroyed, you know.
Just the ground floor, or also the other floors were filled with
water? Other floors were okay. Some people saved all their things because they're up, so but we were down, you know.
So what did you do then when your room was flooded?
We lost everything, you know, so some photo cameras and so on, and passports and so flying tickets and so on, money. So anyway, they said not going back because of the possibility of another wave coming. So we went to some Buddhist temple on the hill. It was safe, you know, so we spent there night, and next day we went back to the hotel to find maybe some things which happened, you know. I found my flute, my cap, and a few of our things, but not passports, not money, no, but everything was out and it was destroyed.
How did you get back home then?
We find some way to go to the airport in Colombo, which was very difficult because the roads were destroyed around the sea, so we found some men who took us with another friends. We were 8 Czech people going by minibus through this jungle and these hills about 14 hours to the Colombo.
Were any of the Czechs you were with, were any of them affected? Were they injured or something?
Yeah, we were. I was also injured a little, but some girl from Brno, she had some very bad food, but for the luck we found some antibiotics in the sand. It was good covered, so we gave it to her. For the luck, nobody was killed from the Czech, but we have seen a lot of dead persons in the beach, you know, and it was very, very sad, you know, really, really, really horrible.
I have heard you also want to give a benefit concert to help the affected region.
Yeah, we are. We have some. We ask people officially to find some groups and find some possibility to make some concerts for Sri Lanka or anyway for Asia. And it happened. I hope I will organize it with some another musicians, also with galleries and also with some charities and foundations. I think it needs a little bit time to find good place. I want to make some big concert with classic music and concert with some different music, like blues, jazz and things like this, you know.
That report by Martin Mikule. Now, Wednesday saw the 10th annual Three Kings procession in Prague to mark the festival of Epiphany, reenacting the journey of the three wise men to visit the infant Jesus. The procession included musicians, live camels, and a nativity scene complete with Mary, Joseph, and a live baby Jesus. The event, which has now become a Prague institution, was the brainchild of a Spanish priest and missionary. People gather every year to watch the colorful procession and bring gifts for charity. This year, toys were collected for children at a Prague hospital. Nikola Brabanek reports.
The Three Kings procession started in front of Prague Castle and then headed to the nearby Loreto Square. A couple of hundred people gathered to watch the Three Kings on camels on their way to a live nativity scene to pay their respects to baby Jesus. This lively event marked the end of the Christmas season. I spoke with one mother about why she decided to come.
My son is now almost 4 years old, and I've been here last year with him, and it's just enjoyable for the kids. I think it's a special event, and I also like to get back to some old cultural roots. You know, I'm not explicit Christian, but for me, it's like we all grew up here with like classical celebration of Christmas, and since I'm a mother now, I'm kind of learning to go on with the tradition, and I like to tell stories. I mean, I think it's important to remember old stories, and I don't really go with the, like, Christian history or so, but I like to tell the sort of fairy tales to, you know, to keep in mind that not everything is a Spider-Man and not everything is a, I don't know, supermarket.
The Czech Republic is one of the least religious countries in Europe. During the communist era, the Catholic Church declined still further. There is a major shortage of priests. Practically a whole generation is missing. Catholic priests are being brought in from other parts of the world. Priest Alberto Geralda came over to the Czech Republic from Spain 13 years ago. The procession was his idea, and he was dressed as one of the Three Kings on camel this year. I spoke to him about what inspired him to start this event 10 years ago.
To je přivítání třech králů do Prahy. Tady.
This event marks the welcoming of the Three Kings to Prague. The goal of the procession is to reawaken the tradition of the Three Kings and to bring hope and something beautiful and holy to the people, especially to the children, and at the same time to help the needy.
I also spoke with Bohuslava Bočková, one of the organizers of the event, about why she thought the event was so important.
I think this is very important even because there's quite a lot of children who don't really know anything about the Christmas toy. And if their grandparents take them to look at nice camels, nice kings, and little baby Jesus, if anybody explains at least this thing, it might be the beginning of revival of Christian traditions in this country.
In terms of its architecture, Prague has long ranked as one of the most beautiful capitals in the world. But 15 years ago, it was also a site of devastation, a city full of crumbling facades and long-neglected, run-down buildings. Today, it is unrecognizable. Every year since 1989, the city has seen millions of crowns of private investment pour into the restoration of the fabric of the old city under the cautious supervision of conservation officers. Now the work of Prague's conservation office, as well as some of its successes and some of the city's conservation disasters, can even be viewed on a new internet site. Jan Wellinger has more.
Every year, Prague's Office for the Conservation of Historic Buildings oversees dozens of public restoration projects while issuing and sometimes rejecting permits for private renovation plans. Anyone who has ever owned property in historic areas knows how much of a headache it can be. To change an historic facade or build an add-on in your backyard, you must get the city's permission first, and that process takes time. It can often lead to frustration and ultimately a no. In Prague, there have also sometimes been claims of shady deals to speed up the process, although none has ever really been proven. Now, to make the process more transparent for property owners to help understand the process as well as to save time, but also for those just wishing to learn how the city uses public funds, the Office for Historic Buildings Conservation has launched a new webpage, and on that site one can find everything from general guidelines to the city's success stories to bones of contention. cases where property owners have not respected legislation governing historic sites. On the one hand, you can view the successes, information and photos of buildings that have been lovingly restored, a classical building, a Baroque fresco, and a palace in the Empire style. On the other, areas of dispute, a garish historic facade painted green and yellow with a sign reading Fish and Chips. The windows of a building lost to the eye because of a giant ad. Countless butchered entrances, facades, roofs, and arches. All are testimony to some of the challenges the office has to face. Finally, for property owners who have to deal with the Office for Historic Buildings Conservation, there's a section where they can send their queries and comments, presumably to counter charges of ineffectiveness or even corruption in the past. If you own a turn-of-the-century villa, you might not be allowed an open-air jacuzzi in the back, but at least you can tell City Hall what you think.
And if you'd like to find more information about the city of Prague, including the photos published by the Conservation Office, go to www.cityofprague.cz. You're listening to Radio Prague, and it's now time for our weekly business report with Brian Kennedy.
Hello and welcome to Business Report. I'm Brian Kennedy. This week we look at the crackdown on retailers after New Year's Day sales left consumers holding the bag, an empty bag that is, with complaints of false advertising by superstores and hypermarkets, as precious few of the heavily promoted sales items were actually in stock. We'll have that story for you in just a few minutes, but first here's Nicola Brabanek with a look at the week's top business news.
Thanks, Brian. Nine companies have expressed interest in buying the state's 51% stake in Český Telecom, the dominant fixed-line operator. The National Property Fund expects to receive preliminary, non-binding offers from interested parties by February 3rd. The sale of Český Telecom is expected to fetch up to 60 billion crowns. If no direct sale has been agreed by the end of March, the government may opt to sell its shares on the capital markets. The Czech Republic's budget deficit in 2004 reached 93.5 billion crowns, the equivalent to just over 3 billion euros. The Ministry of Finance said the outcome, some 700 million euros, less than previously projected, was the result of higher tax revenues than anticipated and savings on expenditure. Meanwhile, the Czech Republic in November posted a foreign trade surplus of 5.2 billion crowns, about 170 million euros, its first in 10 years for the month, according to the Czech Statistical Office. Record growth in the exports of cars and electrical engineering products was the main factor. In the month of November 2003, the Czech Republic had a trade deficit of 8.4 billion crowns. Collective bargaining at the national railway operator Český dráhy has been interrupted indefinitely, following the heated disputes over the collective agreement for 2005. The absence of such an agreement means that railway employees will lose some benefits. For example, they would not receive wage supplements and have shorter holidays and longer working hours. There is concern that longer working hours may result in redundancies. The Scottish company Incline Global Technology Services has announced plans to build a multi-million-dollar high-technology repair center for LCD flat panel notebook computers, LCD televisions, and plasma screens in Prague. In the short term, Incline expects to hire up to 165 new employees to work in the center. Almost 1 million people have left the industrial and agricultural sectors since the fall of the communist regime in the then Czechoslovakia in 1989, according to data released this week from the Czech Statistical Office. More than 550,000 people left the industrial sector, largely due to massive layoffs, the data showed. Since the early 1990s, one out of three Czech farmers has left for greener pastures. Most growth was in the services sector.
Thanks, Nicola, and now to our main story.
The state's commercial inspectorate is taking a fresh look at how retailers operating in the Czech Republic promote sales after receiving complaints about how superstores and hypermarkets kicked off the year 2005. Traffic ground to a halt outside many outlets the weekend of New Year's Day as Czechs went on buying sprees, spurred on by promises of incredible deals on big-ticket items like electronic goods and home appliances. But many bargain hunters went home empty-handed, with only a few of the advertised discounted goods actually in stock, and these reportedly snapped up by store employees before the doors even opened to customers. Over 1,000 people turned up at the French hypermarket chain Carrefour on Monday, the first workday of the new year, spurred on by promises of discounts up to 95%. Few left entirely happy. Groups of disgruntled people appealed to the Ministry of Industry and Trade and the Czech Commercial Inspectorate to take action. And they have done so. Such was the media attention that the minister himself, Milan Urban, called for an investigation. On Tuesday, the commercial inspectorate began sniffing around into whether Carrefour acted in compliance with regulations on the guaranteed availability of goods promoted as sales items. Beginning on Thursday, the inspectorate will launch such inspections at all retail chains. Preliminary findings of the commercial inspectorate showed that certain advertised goods were only available at certain Carrefour stores, or that only a symbolic number of items were on hand. Carrefour could be fined, but whatever the outcome of the investigation, a change in the law itself is under consideration, says Commercial Inspectorate General Director Jiří Pěkný.
It is a bit premature to talk of fines because the investigation is still underway. It appears to us that some unethical steps may have been taken by Carrefour, but this is something that needs further examination. As Minister Urban has already said, so far the findings of our investigation are that some unethical steps may have been taken. But we are considering following Germany's example, meaning that a company advertising discounted items must have those items in stock and on sale up to a specific period. In Germany, now that period is 48 hours, 2 days.
The Czech National Bank estimates that large retailers like Carrefour account for 70% of the 520 billion crowns in annual retail sales. The number of hypermarkets in the Czech Republic is expected to grow this year by at least 15, maybe as many as 20. The French chain alone operates 10 hypermarkets in the Czech Republic. Their advertisements promised that starting this past Monday, prices on some 10,000 items would be reduced, some up to 95%. When asked if Carrefour had tricked its customers, which was how the sales were portrayed in much of the Czech media, spokesperson Jana Hlaváčková had this to say.
Closeout sales are a way of clearing out stock that has remained in the warehouse from the previous year. Every retailer does this and has its own way of doing it. If there were few of some items on sale, it means there weren't many in the warehouse. In no circumstances did Carrefour engage in false advertising or tricks. The goods were available everywhere, even if in minimal amounts.
According to František Lebovský, head of a Czech Consumer Protection Association, Carrefour's ad campaign was manipulative, but probably in accordance with the law, and he doubts that a change in the law would make much difference.
It may be that more specific regulations about how merchandisers can promote their products would be good for consumers. Nevertheless, we think the law already provides relatively many possibilities for monitoring how goods are sold on the market. In fact, paragraph 6 of the Consumer Protection Law says merchandisers must use ethical sales techniques. I think that the situation, which is already much improved, will keep getting better as long as watchdog institutions go in this direction.
And that brings us to the end of the program, but you can join us again tomorrow or look up our program online at www.radio.cz. We'd like to know what you think about our broadcast, so please send us your questions or comments to Radio Prague 12099 Prague, Czech Republic, or by email to english@radio.cz. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and current affairs, as well as a new edition of The Arts. For now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here in Prague, it's goodbye and take care.
To, aby blíž zemi měl a potom sám zemí stane se a všechno, co kdy chtěl, ovětředuj každý krok a každý vdech je jen tvůj. Při mě stůj, ještě mě chvíli nech, o na ten mech slunce dech, až kopce rozhrne. Bože můj, ať je vidím jak poprvé. Štěstí hledá každý stvoření, každej chce lásku a klid. A možná, že bolest srdce přemění, jak vždycky chtěl zlomit. O větře duj každý můj, každý krok a každý vdech je jen tvůj. Při mě stůj, ještě mě chvíli nech, o na ten mech slunce dech, až kopce rozhrne. Bože můj, ať je vidím jak poprvé. Člověk časem ohne se, to aby viděl věci líp. Vzpomínám lásky, co kdy měla jsem, a nebo chtěla mít. O větře duj každý můj, každý krok a každý vdech je jen tvůj. Při mě stůj, ještě mě chvíli nech, o na ten mech slunce dech, až kopce rozhrne. Bože můj, ať je vidím jak poprvé. Větře duj každý můj, každý krok a každý vdech je jen tvůj. Při mě stůj,